hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, here for another week. Very excited to be here with you all, and hopefully many of you, many, and more even as we speak, are participating in the Boundless Summer Challenge and are enjoying each day's tasks. I know I am, even though some of them are a little bit tricky, and writing the notes can be a little bit exhausting because sometimes I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm doing it. So I'm excited, and I want to start hearing from you all as well as you're proceeding through each day of these tasks. For the month of July, very exciting. Make sure that you're checking out our Facebook page and the blog for more info on the Boundless Summer Challenge. Well, this week's show, we have a question at the end of the show with Candace from a listener who wants to know about basically telling her boyfriend to get a mentor. So not that she's, you know, basically up in his face about it, but really thinking that he needs one. And so Candace weighs in with some great advice on that. And then our culture segment is an interview that I did with Lisa Velthaus. She is the author of Craving Grace, a great story, almost a memoir in a sense of her experience getting to know God's grace in a very tangible way and what brought her to that point. So speaking of grace, we all need it at some point in our lives. We need it for things that we do, things that we don't do, things that we don't know that we don't do. And sometimes life just comes and interrupts our well-laid plans. And nowhere is that more apparent at times than in relationships. And many of us move towards marriage, which Boundless supports. Woohoo! And we do it intentionally, and we think that we're doing it well, and sometimes it doesn't work out. And we even may get to the point of engagement and have that relationship itself not work out. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let me introduce our roundtable. We have Lindy Havens over there across from me. Lindy, welcome.
Thanks, Lisa.
Great to have you. And we have Charity Richardson. Charity.
Thank you.
Very pleased to have you. And she has a wonderful green top on. I am also wearing green. Oh, my goodness. Lindy has some variation of green. Kevin, welcome.
Hello.
You're wearing black.
I am wearing black. Well, this episode, I thought I should wear black.
Really? Okay.
Appropriate.
Hopefully, maybe you should have brought a white shirt to change into at the end of the episode as we inject hope into your life. Maybe. Okay, we'll think about that
we'll
for
think
next
about
time.
That, probably,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, we are talking here as a collective group because on some level we have all experienced, you all have experienced, I will say, a broken engagement or two or, you know, may be the case. So we're going to talk about that because I think we have heard from people here on the show who have walked through that themselves and or maybe who are in relationships and kind of are wrestling with fears related to that, don't know what that looks like, don't know what ending a relationship looks like when maybe it should end or what does it look like to either end a relationship or fight it through, you know, when should you do that? So I am very privileged to have the three of you here to weigh in and share your stories. So let's go ahead just really quickly and go around the table and just kind of give a little high level brief overview of where you were in this relationship or relationships and kind of what happened and kind of how that brought you right to where you are right now.
I had a very unique situation because my freshman year in college, I went on a mission trip to Argentina, and I met this girl, and she came up to us and said, you know, hey, you guys are Americans. She was studying English at the time and wanted to learn, and so I was there for a month, and she hung out with us, and we became really good friends, and we kept in touch, and then I had planned to go back down for the whole summer, the next summer. And so we Skyped, and we chatted, and we emailed, and that sort of thing, and paid a bunch of money on phone cards and that sort of thing. And we fell in love through that. And so I went back down there. We hung out a lot that summer, realized that we really do care a lot about each other. And so then I came back home. I had two more years of school during my senior year, I went down during Christmas break and asked her to marry me. And so she said yes, which was a plus. Mm-hmm. And I really think from the beginning, though, of the relationship, we had, she wasn't a believer whenever I first met her, and she came to Christ throughout the time of our friendship. And I think that perhaps I know that I encouraged her to come to Christ, and I think that that was, you know, I think that was legitimate. But I think for a long time during our relationship, she questioned whether it was real or whether it was because, well, Kevin really, really wants me to be a Christian. And I think that was a huge factor. And part of that was my impatience. I was impatient. I knew that I didn't want to date a non-believer, but I really liked this girl. And it's one thing to make your list, and then it's another thing to have somebody there who's real and say, well, that thing on the list isn't as important as I thought it was because this person actually likes me and there isn't anybody else. And so anyway, it grew. And then I lived down there for a while doing mission work. And then for about 6 months after I graduated, I was like, hey, I'm graduated. This is great. And I became, you know, I was like, well, I'm a man now. And I went down there and figured we're engaged. We should get married. And we started talking about getting married. But then I ran out of money. And so I came back to the U.S. And I think as I was in the U.S., I was working. I had planned to go back down, but I didn't. I got my job here at Focus. And I think we really grew apart. And, you know, we tried to stay in touch, but having lived down there and seeing each other every day really brought us to the point where being apart for so long wasn't as easy to do as it had been when I was in college. And, you know, that kind of led to the end. She fell, or she grew away from me, and she started to like another guy. And so she ended things with me and started things with him for a little bit.
Okay.
So...
All right.
There we go. Hope that wasn't too long.
Charity, give us a little summary of your story.
Sure. I actually have two. My first one was kind of an informal engagement. We started dating when I was in college, and he was actually a brand new Christian when I started to date him. There was a lot of character issues, some maturity issues, and we were together for 2 years. And again, I was kind of the spiritual leader in the relationship. I had been a Christian for about 10 years by that point in time, and so I was the one always trying to get him to read the Bible and do the Bible studies. And I read all the courtship books in college, so I was trying to make it a courtship. We weren't going to kiss until our wedding day. And again, him in college becoming a new Christian, he did not understand all of my rules and why I wanted to do it this way. He was trying very hard, but it was one of those things where he just didn't understand it. He didn't get it. He hadn't grown in his walk with God. And in all honesty, as I look back now, I don't think he really had God first in his life or really understood what that fully meant at the time. And after we graduated from college, we were both kind of in a situation of we don't know what we're going to do with our lives. And so he started exploring some different options, and he chose to go into the military. And in his basic training, he actually ended up cheating on me. And so he had asked me to marry him before he left for basic training. I didn't have a ring or anything like that. But again, we'd been together for a couple years, and, you know, I kind of had felt like I could keep him close to God, and I was going to be that rescuer savior myself. And through that process, I ended the relationship at that point in time. I definitely struggled for about 3 or 4 years with God, just in an intense level of thinking I didn't want any kind of relationship until I was ready to be married. So that kind of washed away a lot of my plans at that point in time. And then after the breakup, I went right into youth ministry. And there was a part of me that just felt like I understand hurt, I understand brokenness, I understand pain. I started working with teenagers in a counseling setting, and then I started working in youth ministry and basically fell in love with, you know, helping people that were struggling and hurting the way that I did. And in that process, I ended up meeting a guy 4 years later that was also involved in children's ministry at my church. And we started dating fairly soon. He was very interested in me, and everybody was kind of rooting for us in the church, and we kind of grew in front of an entire church congregation, youth ministry. And when we had started dating, at that point in time, I had made a decision that I wanted to get my master's in counseling. I had been working in a psychiatric hospital for about 4 years, and I wanted to find a college that I could be basically a licensed professional counselor from a Christian school. And there's basically only five that I was willing to go to, and one of them was in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I was in Kansas City at the time. Mm-hmm. So at that point in time, I decided that I would move to Colorado to get my master's. We had been dating for about a year, and he was completely in support of it. And so I had moved out here, and he asked me to marry him before I left. And he was in seminary to become a youth pastor himself. Hmm. And as we did the long-distance relationship, him in Kansas City and me in Colorado, we definitely found that it was very difficult to communicate over the phone. We would have fights that we just weren't able to resolve without that face-to-face very easily. And then he started to come out to Colorado to plan a wedding, look for houses. He was willing to move to Colorado after he finished seminary so that I could finish the rest of my counseling degree. And as we started making those major decisions together, we found that we had different ideas and we just found a lot of clashing as we were trying to make major decisions, primarily about money and where to live and how to raise children. And we just, some of those major issues that we hadn't really talked about when we were dating that came up engagement, we hadn't fully processed through. And in that process, we ended up calling it off. And it was, yeah, again, it was very painful. And, you know, there was definitely some hard times at the end because it was a lot of tension and fighting and wanting each other to see eye to eye, and just had some different theological beliefs that started coming to the surface. And so sure.
And how long ago was that now?
That has been 4 years now.
Okay. Wow.
So.
Okay. Lindy, how about you?
Thanks. I think it's kind of, there's a theme a little bit, which is interesting to me, just having met these two. But the long distance aspect, of course, everything, you know, we have our differences with things. But my story is we went through the same art program at my Christian college. So I knew him all 4 years of college on a very casual, you know, in the same illustration classes kind of setting where you can watch each other's lives from a distance. Mm-hmm. Really didn't. I was dating someone pretty seriously through college, and, you know, there wasn't anything there definitely at that time. Broke up from that relationship right before I graduated, was really heartbroken, and then saw him again at a friend's wedding the next March, so close to a year after graduation. And it's one of those things, you know, you always talk about weddings and the danger of weddings, but just really we ended up being paired together as a bridesmaid and groomsman and got to talk. And it was kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, I expected you to be married by now. Well, you too. You're not. No. And just you kind of look at each other and you go, I wonder. And just because our backgrounds and different things are similar. And so we actually did start to get in touch quite a bit after the wedding, and just, I don't know if you want to say fell into or, but, you know, into this relationship with each other again, long distance. I was here in Colorado and he was in Indiana. So we did a lot of the trips back and forth. And I, in retrospect, looking back, I think I was always afraid to bring up hard things because somebody had bought a plane ticket, you know, mm-hmm. to go 1,000 miles away, and you had 4 days together, and you were going to spend time with family, you were going to go to the park, you were going to do all of the fun things, you know, that you don't get to do because you're just talking on the phone and you're doing email. And so why would you ruin a trip?
You don't want to spend that whole trip fighting.
Exactly.
You know, it's supposed to be a happy time. We never get to see each other. Yeah.
Sharing doubts or trying to like dig into all of these things that kind of are at the back of your mind. And I found myself just doing this thing where I kept saying, we'll work it out. You know, everything, we'll work this out. These aren't, you know, these are normal things that would come up, and nothing, huge red flags, just the little things. And over time, you're like, and you kind of start to have more of those. And I'm putting them in my journal, but am I talking to him about them? No, you know, because we're doing this long distance. And my family was very kind, but they were also like, you know, you guys, just take your time. You know, you're doing this. And I think being out of college, there's this sense almost like I missed my chance. You know, I missed my chance. I was at a Christian college, and that's the time when you find your, you know, your husband. And so
tell me about it, Lindy.
So here's this man, and he's a man of God. And well, why wouldn't it work out? You know, why wouldn't it be that way? And so basically by that January, the whole New Year's Eve thing, we did get engaged. He was still in Indiana. I was in Colorado. So, but I think that, again, in my mind, it was just that, yeah, we'll make this work. You know, it'll be fine. And so he moved out here a couple months later. And Charity, it's when you're starting to like actually face life together, make decisions, buy a townhouse. He was really struggling with leaving a good job, coming out here, quote unquote, for me, leaving his family, everything behind. You know, I felt like I was like, well, aren't you happy? Like, isn't this, you know, aren't you excited to be here? Isn't this what you wanted? And so then you see how much he's struggling. And anyway, the more time we spent together, the more things unraveled. And you looked at each other and it's like, I don't really know you. I don't know you in the way, like you said, you're starting to talk about things that you should have talked about months and months before you had a ring on your finger. And then it's like 3 months before your wedding, you know, at Bath and Beyond, you're supposed to be picking out things for your registry and you're having this meltdown because you're looking at this person like, I don't even know you at all. I don't know if I should marry you. And we're supposed to be picking out, you know, curtains. So there's just all of this mixed in with this engagement, with all of those things crashing in. Basically, his parents came out to help plan the rehearsal and whatnot. And by that point, we were really at a crisis. And so they came out thinking they were helping us plan the wedding. And we actually sat down with his parents, my mom, and just said, we're at a really rough spot. We need some direction. We need some advice. And I think that was actually the point where looking at each other with our families, having that conversation was like, I don't think this is going to happen, you know? And for a while I actually thought, let's just put off the wedding. I think it's just too close. It's coming too soon. I need some breathing room. We need to get to know each other and it'll be okay. But I think that he also recognized, no, actually, this isn't going to happen, you know? And so it was, again, really painful. You go through, we had everything. It was 2 months before our wedding, you know? Mm-hmm. So you've got the decorations, you've got all of that. And sitting down at a restaurant together and basically like a mini divorce, you know, mm-hmm. You're going through your finances and going, well, how much did you spend on, you know, the photographer down payment? And how much did I spend on our counseling appointment? And all of those things, and you're actually having to divide up your, you know, your finances. And he got a U-Haul and took off for home. And so I think looking back, it was right, but I would say it would have been much better not to have been engaged, to actually have talked through those things and to have made some really honest assessments and decisions prior to engagement, which would have saved a lot of heartache later on.
Yeah. So speaking of heartache, because this is interesting, I have never been engaged, but I was part of a failed proposal, basically, was proposed to and just had to say no. Did not know him, was not prepared to get married in any sense. And so I want to go back to that moment of getting engaged. And the one thing that I remember thinking to myself was, oh, no, this is not going to be part of my story. And I was so frustrated and angry that now this was part of my story, because I never wanted that to be part of who I was. Yeah. And it is now, you know, and it's there. And, you know, of course, I said that there was no way that could happen. And I was kind of on the we just need more time. We just need to date long, you know, whatever. And it did eventually fall apart. But where at that moment in time when you realized you were engaged and this was not going to work out, what were just some of the emotions that went through your head, especially looking towards the future and just saying, where do I go from here? Because this is something that I signed up for and now it's not going to happen. And what does that look like for my future?
Well, for me, it's been, now I have the opportunity to learn the things that I should have learned before. A lot of the things that caused my relationship to fall apart was my lack of reliance on God, because I had it all planned out and it's going to happen this way. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, it didn't happen that way, because then I would be married and things could have fallen apart after the marriage, which is a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. Instead, now I have no clue what's going to happen. I know I've got a great job. I love working here at Focus, great people around me, good friends, great family. And because of that, I can walk through life blindly. And God's teaching me to walk through life blindly, because I have no clue. I have no idea. what's going to happen.
I think there is kind of a sense of, I had this plan, I had this idea, I had this direction, and then it's like a canyon opens up like the cheesy movies. You know, you're driving along and all of a sudden there's this abyss and you're going, wow, I absolutely have no idea what anything looks like all of a sudden, just, you know, within a month. Mm-hmm. You go from about to change your name and all these things to literally, like, it's just this really, it's a sense of grief, a sense of emptiness, a sense of just kind of like the wind was knocked out of you.
Yeah.
And you really don't know. You're just staring kind of off into nothingness. Probably the best thing I did for myself is we actually made it through one premarital counseling session before everything went awry, or, you know, we were kind of on the brink when we went there. It's funny. I think the counselor expects this, you know, starstruck couple to walk into his office and be like, oh yes, everything, you know, we're so in love. And we were just kind of looking at each other and looking at him like, wow, we are completely lost right now. Anyway, that was a really good step for us, was to even process that with him. But the best thing I did for myself was to keep going. He had moved back to Indiana, and I thought to myself, I had something to do with this, and I want to figure out what it was, and I don't want it to happen again. I want to figure out what I did and what went wrong. And so I actually just kept going to that same counselor for a while, and that was really insightful. It actually helped me to examine not only this relationship, but who I was, what, you know, what had gone on both in my life and who I wanted to become, what kind of man I did want to have in my future. And that was really crucial, actually, to the change for me, and led to later on, I actually just got married this last year.
Yay!
Yay. So be hopeful, you know, 6 years after that all happened. So again, much later, you know, at 30 and not at 22 or 23 or all those things you think are going to be perfect and you've hoped for. But we actually then did pre-engagement counseling, which I'm like the biggest cheerleader now in all of life for, simply because you don't have this wedding looming over you, and you can literally look at each other in your relationship in such an honest, open, clear light. You put everything out on the table in the right and healthy way with someone to walk you through it. So by the time you get engaged, especially for me, because I'd done this before and I was like, I am not going there again. Mm-hmm. You know, you have, when Nate proposed to me, it was like, yes and yes, you know, I know who you are. I know you're trustworthy. You know me. We didn't have an easy pre-engagement. There was stuff in our lives that was rough, but the best thing that our counselor said to us that I will just carry with me forever, he said, I will help you become engaged in a healthy way or exit gracefully. And wow, what a graceful exit. I mean, that's what we didn't have. That's what I didn't have. But what a beautiful picture of saying, this can be done. It can be done well. Mm-hmm. There is a different way. Yeah. You know, there's a different way to do this. And I really needed to know that.
Yeah. So Charity, were you just like, I mean, honestly, you must have been like, can I even bring a relationship to completion? I mean, let's be honest here.
Yeah. And at the second time, the first time I felt a lot of that humiliation and shame. Mm-hmm. The second time, that was the biggest issue for me, because I was, again, I had wanted my dream because I read all those courtship books, and I come from a broken family. Mm-hmm. My parents did not have a good relationship. They got divorced when I was a teenager, and it was heartbreaking to watch that growing up. There was a lot of fighting and yelling and all of those things in my family growing up. So I'm not kidding. By the time I was 16, I was reading marriage books. I was reading dating books. I was reading everything that I could get my hands on so that I would know what I was doing when I was finally in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I had prayed these massive prayers to God. God, I only want to fall in love with one man, and I want him to be my husband. And, you know, I had all these dreams for my life, and being single in my 30s was definitely not one of them. But again, the second time that I was engaged and it fell apart, I was, you know, I was in a place of, God, you've completely redeemed the past. And, you know, it had changed my relationship with God, this, you know, the second relationship. And, you know, I see all the benefit from the first. And so I definitely had to wrestle with God in a lot of that. The humiliation, the shame. Again, both times I was in a position of leadership, so mm-hmm. I was afraid of what are people thinking about me when they're looking at what's happening in my life and mm-hmm. feeling like they're looking at there's something wrong with me or mm-hmm. All of those emotions that come with it. But then there was also that sense of relief, too, mm-hmm. that I also knew in the bottom of my heart that God had protected me from walking mm-hmm. into marriage that would have not been his best for my life. Yeah. And since that point in time, again, it does take a while to pick up the pieces. Mm-hmm. It really is an abyss. You really just wake up and you don't know what to do with your life the next day. You go from couple land to being single again, and you don't really know how to do it. And again, I had school the second time I was working on my master's, so I had something immediately to pour my life into. Mm-hmm. But you really just don't know what you're going to do. And I've learned since then to really hold my plans and my dreams loosely mm-hmm. and let God do whatever I mean, I've really learned submission to God's plan for my life because I really don't know where he's taking me from here. And I've learned that it's okay. I've learned that he's going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. And even when it hurts and even when everything falls apart, I did find him there. Mm-hmm. And that has been one of the biggest things that I feel like I've been able to bring to some of my clients. I primarily work with trauma. So it's one of the biggest things that I feel like I've been able to bring to my clients is even in the worst of all circumstances, when your dreams fall apart, that God is there and he is doing something and he does have a purpose and a reason mm-hmm. that he's going to use everything for his ultimate good and purpose for your life. So,
yeah, I think that's really encouraging. I mean, it definitely in seeing that, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to say that I have not gotten to that point yet. We broke up in October last year, and I'm not there yet. There are days like 4th of July, for example, I was all by myself. Mm-hmm. I watched some movies on Netflix, and I'm not at the point where I completely trust God because I want things to happen and I try to make things happen, and I've joined dating sites and I've unjoined dating sites now just because
welcome to that club, Kevin. Welcome to that club.
I realized that I do need to trust in God, but I don't, and I was realizing that the reason I was on these sites is God's not going to bring anybody my way. So let's, I go to Google for everything else. So why not, search on the internet for the answers? And it didn't work. I mean, I didn't like anybody I went out on dates with. And I wasn't trusting God. It was more internally. I didn't have that faith that I needed to have. And I still don't. I still am unsure about the future. And I still don't. I'm not completely ready yet, and maybe that's why God hasn't brought someone along.
So. Well, I appreciate you saying that, and I think it's important, Kevin. You bring up a good point, and that is, it's almost empowering to understand that, we're not just completely. Anyone out there in the world could easily say, "Oh, it's just fate," or "It's just karma," or "It's just whatever." But God gives us a very real role in our relationships, and I think Lindy, it was greatly encouraging to see how you took ownership of the situation, and you said, and I know when you were talking to us beforehand, you talked about how just that whole when you realized that I do not have to marry this guy, mm-hmm. I don't have to. This doesn't have to, and you had that opportunity to step back and reflect on where you were and realize that. And Kevin, it just so happens that in your situation, it was her that made that decision. But now in looking at that, you're probably realizing, wow, okay, fresh eyes, looking back on that situation, realizing the things that escalated and how rapidly things mm-hmm. went. You can see that even though it's no less hurtful or it's no less kind of putting you at sea as to what happens from here. But I think it's great. And still, it doesn't mean that the boundless, I always have to, come back to what boundless says, there's no less hope for you on your part of going out and searching and finding a wife and the fact that there is someone there for you and your role in that process and stuff. And ladies, especially Charity, you and I as well. And obviously looking at Lindy's story and realizing that, going about it the second time, just night and day as far as the outcome of that. I think that's huge. And I think we did talk a little bit during the course of this, and I think it's great that we all hit on this, the idea of when you're in that relationship, there's a time to just give it more time. And there's a time to talk, mm-hmm. and there's a time to communicate, and there is a time to break it off and to realize, you know, and you talked about what some of those red flags were and the fact that we do, you know, Kevin, like you said, we try to fit a person or a situation into what we feel is yeah. right or what we feel God wants from us. And understanding that spiritual maturity on some level is important. And what does it look like for that person to have, you know, trajectory and to be growing and stuff? And when is it like, no, I'm putting that upon them myself. Uh-huh. And like you said, the distance thing is huge. So, well, I am hoping we're going to go ahead and wrap up here, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to follow up with y'all in the future. You know, Lindy is in the married world mm-hmm. now and growing in that, which is exciting. And to recognize that, you know, sure, there's a story there in the past, but that doesn't affect it. Probably only enhances and only gives a sense of grace and really a sense of mm-hmm. Understanding of where you are now. And there is still hope in the midst of brokenness, I mm-hmm. think, for all of us as well. So I just want to thank you all for being part of this discussion sure. and Absolutely. Being so transparent and sharing your stories. I really appreciate that. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun.